This morning, we're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and as we look into the scripture there, we find that the scripture starts talking about donkeys. That's right. That's what this guy named Saul was up to. We don't know if it was really his job or not, but in this particular day, Saul was called on to be a donkey wrangler. And as it turned out, his father's donkeys had gone missing. I don't know, maybe somebody left a gate open. Maybe somebody was being mischievous. Maybe he just had really smart donkeys. I'm not sure what the case was. But in whatever the case, they were gone and somebody needed to track them down. And Saul was assigned the job. What a great way to start your day. Getting up, what am I going to do? Oh, you're going to go chase donkeys today. Oh, great. Thanks. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Saul's early years. We do know that as far as young men go, he was a handsome chap. Not only that, he was also tall. The Bible describes him as an impressive young man without equal. But on this particular day, he and his father's servants were out looking for donkeys. They went searching here, they went down this valley, they went far and wide. They went from town to town, area to area. No sign of these lost donkeys. We don't know how long exactly they were looking for, but it was more than just hours, it was days. They covered a lot of territory. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5. Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us." The servant seemed to know something that Saul doesn't. He says, "Look, in this town there's a man of God. He is highly respected. And everything he says comes true. Let's go there now and perhaps he will tell us the way to take." One of the servants of Saul had this bright idea. There's this man of God. He knows things. Let's go check with him. And so with a small glimmer of hope, Saul and the servant set out to find this man of God. Well, after asking for directions, which goes to prove that even men ask for directions if they're desperate enough, they found Samuel, the man of God. This, of course, was the same Samuel that we spoke about last week when the people wanted a king. God was about to take action on that request, the request that the people had. God had been speaking to Samuel and had already told him about this stranger who would come by the next day and that this would be the man that he was to anoint as king. Saul had no idea what he was getting into. He thought he was just going out looking for donkeys. God was setting him up on a commission, on a mission to meet Samuel. In the meantime, he'd been preparing Samuel to connect with Saul and say, "This is the man that I want you to anoint." And so sure enough, the next day, Saul and Samuel caught up with each other. They introduced themselves. They had a feast that Samuel had prepared. He had arranged for a feast. He knew that this man would be coming and it was all set up for him. And the next morning, when Saul was getting ready to head back home, Samuel told him that he would be the leader for Israel, and he proceeded to anoint him. And then Samuel told Saul what would happen in the next encounters he would have, the people he would meet, the things that would happen, where he would be going, and what would be happening. Samuel told Saul all these details about what was about to take place, but the most important thing that Samuel told Saul was a word of insight of what would happen to him If you have your Bibles, make sure you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. When Samuel tells Saul, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them," that is, with the other prophets that he would be meeting on the road, "and you will be changed into a different person." And then Samuel says, "Once these signs," verse 8, "once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands finds to do, for God is with you," which is basically another way of saying, once these signs are fulfilled, you're going to be ready to start working for me. Well, it still took a little while before Saul was publicly acknowledged as king, but this was the first step. Imagine one day, Saul going out looking for donkeys, and before he gets home, he's anointed by this man of God to be the leader of the people Israel. Imagine that. What an amazing change of job description. One day he could put on his resume, you know, keeper of donkeys. The next day he could put on, you know, anointed king of Israel. What? How did that happen? And what would it be like for Saul's father? You know, sending out your son to do something for you, some chore, and coming back a few days later, anointed as king. It's interesting how God works. The unexpected things that God does, the way he brings about change in the most unexpected ways. It's not the only time. Many times God has done that. Taken a situation and maybe some situation that was dire and brought about so much change in an instant. In an instant, in a day, overnight, in a moment. Everything changed. We see that so many times in the scripture and in many ways. When people were starving, they thought they were going to have to resort to cannibalism. Next thing you knew, there was an abundance of food they didn't know what to do with. You see a woman who is weeping because, well, her Lord, her Savior had been crucified. And next minute, they're rejoicing because they had found Jesus. They had met Jesus. And it's just so neat how in scripture, you know, things can change. Sometimes they change in our perspective for the negative. Something difficult happens. But there are so many times when God can change and bring about a change that is just amazing. Like, wow, where did that? I didn't see that coming. And this is one of those stories of Saul. Goes out one day looking for donkeys. Comes back having been anointed by Samuel, the man of God. An amazing story. And if you're like me, you probably have a question on your mind that when I read the story again, it certainly came to my mind. And that question was, why Saul? I wish I could answer that. I can't definitively. I have some thoughts about it. But why Saul? Of all the people in Israel, why did God choose Saul to be the first king of Israel? I mean, did Saul have some formal military training? Did he have some special spiritual gift? Did he come from some significant family? Was he highly respected? Was his name well known? What was it about Saul that God looked upon the people when they wanted a king and he said, you, that's the one I'm going to choose. What was it? We know that Saul was tall, taller than most people. Scripture says he was a full head taller than any of the others. Wow, verse 2, chapter 9, verse 2. He was a full head taller. Talk about standing out. Is that what it was? Was it his good looks? There was something about his appearance for sure. But we know that that's not what it is. Scripture is very clear that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So it wasn't that he was a head taller. That had nothing to do with it. It wasn't that he was a handsome young man. That had nothing to do with it. There was something about Saul. Well, we can speculate. We could think of a few things. And one of the things about Saul, and this is early in his life, and life did change for him, but at least at the beginning, we know that he was a humble man. I mean, you know, he sent out to look for donkeys. How exciting. You know, how do you like that for a job? You know, he could have said to his father, well, you know, I got more important things to do. Can't you find something more important for me? But that's not what he did. He accepted the job that he was given, even if it wasn't the most glamorous. Not that it was awful, but, you know, I'm sure he probably had some other things in mind for that day, other than going around the countryside looking for donkeys. Yay. And he was obedient too. I mean, you know, he could have resisted his father. He didn't argue with him. He didn't try to pass the buck to someone else. He didn't say, well, why don't you send this guy? Why don't you just send the servants? Why don't you? He didn't fuss. He just went ahead and did it. He obeyed his father. That's a good quality. That's a very good quality. He just went ahead and did it. No argument. I like that. That's a good thing. Lots of people say something, but they'll do something, but they don't. He went and he did what he was told to do. He showed responsibility, right? He went down the first road and went down the first valley and no donkeys, and he didn't turn around and say, oh, well, I tried. They weren't there. Time to go home. You know, he was persistent. He went from valley to valley. He went from place to place. He took his job seriously. He took responsibility. He didn't give it a half-hearted effort. These are all good qualities. And then he was also very thoughtful, considerate. I mean, after being gone for a while, he realized that his father would start worrying about him and not so much about the donkeys. And so, you know, he tells the servant, well, I think we should go home. I think that's a really good quality, too, thinking about how do others feel? How do other people feel about what I'm doing? I think that's a really good quality that oftentimes is missed out on today. It's like, you know, we think about ourselves, you know. What am I doing? What's pleasing to me? What do I want? And we forget, well, how does this affect somebody else? What's the other person thinking? How is it affecting them? And in this particular case, he was thinking about his father. Thinking, oh, my dad will be worried about me. I should get going home. Excellent. Excellent quality. These are all very good qualities. Humility, obedience, responsibility, persistence, consideration, being considerate of others. Was that what it was? And yet something was missing. All these great qualities were not enough. In the end, it's not about Saul. It's about God. It's like the people of Israel themselves. Why did God choose them? Was there something great about them? Were they something significant? Were they powerful? Were they bright? Were they... No, it's because they were the least of the nations, the least of the peoples. God chose to work through them. Why did God choose Saul? Maybe because he was an ordinary guy. Maybe there wasn't anything super spectacular. Maybe he was just obedient, loving, responsible, caring, considerate guy. And yet, all those great qualities, as good as they are, were not enough. And so we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. It's an all-important verse. It's the key, really, to understanding what's going on. So if you have your Bible, look at that with me again. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The Spirit, this is what Samuel is saying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. God was not simply preparing Saul to be some great military leader. That's what the people wanted. They wanted a king to lead them in their battles, just like everyone else has. God was preparing Saul to be a great spiritual leader. Not just a great man who would lead the people in battle with strategy, but a godly man who would lead the people with the Spirit of God. God was preparing Saul to be a leader, not just a great man who would lead the people in battle with strategy, but a godly man who would lead the people with the Spirit of God. And it seems to me that today we put so much focus on good leadership. And good leadership is important. We need people with vision, with humility, people who will take responsibility, people who are thinking about others. These are great qualities. We need that. But we also need more. Because in the end, all the best human qualities will eventually fall short. And for that reason, all the great qualities that Saul had as a young man were not enough. If Saul was going to do the work that God would have him do, then he needed an encounter with the Spirit of God. He needed to be changed into a different person. That's what the scripture says. You will be changed into a different person. And that's what brings us to us here today. It doesn't matter where you look in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, God's desire is to change people and work in them and through them. And it seems that the key part of this life-changing encounter is an encounter with God. It's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not power as in, look how great I am, look at what I can do, or even look at how God is using me, but power as in the power of God to set us free from the bondage to sin. The power of God to change us, to make us into a new and different person. The power of God to help us when we face struggles and challenges or loss. The power of God to go in a different direction than what the world is heading in. It's so easy to go with the flow. The power of God helps us to go against it. And that, my friends, is what we need as a church, as individuals, just like the first disciples. They were no different. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and only then would they be able to go out and be the people God wants them to be. And so, my friends, the message really this morning boils down simply to this. We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and upon us if we are going to be the people of God. We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit upon the church if we are to be the body of Christ. And collectively, as the churches in Whitehorse, we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit among us so that we can see this city become a different place even. But it begins with us. It begins with me. It begins with the individual. It's easy to say, God, what are you doing in the big picture? Why is this nation crumbling? Well, the nation is just made up of a bunch of individuals come together. And so what we need to ask is, why are we as individuals crumbling? Where do I need to let God work in my life? And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're struggling in some area of your life that you have been battling perhaps, and it seems like you're getting nowhere, my encouragement to you is to pray and seek the presence and power of the Spirit of God. Saul was not ready to face his battles. Saul was not ready to go out until he would have had that encounter with God. And neither can we. Neither can we go out in victory in this world or in our own personal lives until we have that encounter with the Spirit of God. And so I want to encourage you. He is the one that makes the difference. He is the one that could make us into a new and different person. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to pray. Where you're seated, or at the altar if you wish, or after the service is closed, or at home if you desire, somewhere along the way, to pray, ask the Spirit of God to come into your life, to minister to you, to make you, to change you, to make you into a new and different person if need be. And only then will we be able to have the victory that we need. So I want to encourage you this morning. Just take a moment, right now, even in prayer. Ask the Lord, is there some area of my life that I'm struggling with, that I need to receive the power of the Spirit to give me victory? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we know that when we face challenges and battles, Lord, human effort is simply not enough. Lord, we need you. Lord, this morning there might be one person here who is struggling spiritually in some area, something that maybe has been dragging them down, causing them defeat again and again. And Lord, I realize that we will face challenges perhaps every day. But Lord God, you also enable us to walk and to live in victory. And I pray, Father God, that if there is a person this morning who is struggling, I pray, Father God, that each one can just look to you and turn to you and ask you to come and to fill them. We pray, Father God, for your Spirit to come upon this place, upon our lives. Lord, that we would be the people that you call us to be, that we would reflect you, that we would, Lord, have the strength, not in ourselves, but in the Spirit of God, to be able to go forward and to represent you and to live for you. Father God, I pray that for each of us here today, whatever our needs are, Lord, that you'd help us as we come to you and we seek you today. In Jesus' name, amen.